In Rwanda today, voters turned out in large numbers for an election that is likely to keep President Paul Kagame in power. He's often praised in the West for overseeing a period of stability and economic growth following the country's devastating 1994 genocide. But that image is starting to change, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Just last year, the State Department Senior Advisor for Innovation, Alec Ross, held up Rwanda as an example of a success story, a country trying to overcome ethnic hatred through economic growth and prosperity.
President Kagame, I think, is taking a fascinating approach to building a 21st century Rwanda. It's a very small country. It's landlocked. It doesn't have the natural resources of its neighbors. So what President Kagame wants to do is build a knowledge-based economy.
And Ross told NPR that the U.S. is helping. Activists agree Rwanda is becoming more prosperous, but Karina Tertsakian says economic growth is coming at a high cost.
That should not be blinding us to the continuing human rights violations that are going on alongside. Rwanda has committed itself to development, but also to democracy. And on development, it's come a long way, and on democracy, it hasn't.
She's the senior researcher on Rwanda for Human Rights Watch, which has documented what it calls a worrying pattern of intimidation ahead of today's vote. In June, an independent journalist was killed. Last month, the deputy head of Rwanda's Green Party was found dead, though Kagame has denied his government was involved. Another concern Tertsakian has is that two opposition leaders face charges stemming from a genocide law, which she says has been used against Kagame's political rivals.
Even though the original intention may have been positive, to try to outlaw the kind of hate speech that we saw during the genocide, in practice, this law has been abused. And really, any individual who speaks out in ways that the government doesn't like risks being accused of this genocide ideology, which is a serious criminal offense punishable with imprisonment.
She says the U.S. has been too quiet in the face of repression, though Assistant Secretary of State Johnny Carson did raise concerns about the election climate when he testified before a House subcommittee earlier this year. Today, State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley took a cautious line.
We are encouraged that the elections appear to have come through peacefully and in an orderly fashion. We have expressed concerns in the run-up to these elections regarding what appear to be attempts by the government of Rwanda to limit freedom of expression, but we'll await the results of the elections before commenting further.
Paul Kagame poses a dilemma for the U.S., according to Steve McDonald, who runs the Africa program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. He says the U.S. is comfortable with the Rwandan leader for many reasons and doesn't seem to want to push him too hard.
We have the same problem elsewhere in the world, just in Africa alone, with Museveni, with Meles Zenawi up in Ethiopia. You know, guys who are in some bad odor, but because they're doing so much on the economic side and on the stability side that we just hate to topple the cart.
But McDonald says the U.S. should be more outspoken about human rights in Rwanda because he says the situation there is becoming increasingly repressive and ethnic tensions are simmering.
That tension is there and it's palpable. And it's like Kagame is putting the lid on the boiling pot, which will keep it still for a while, but not forever. And so I worry about the long term.
The Obama administration argues that long-term stability is best promoted by a democratic government that respects human rights. But activists say the U.S. is not making that case very forcefully when it comes to post-genocide Rwanda. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
More All Things Considered coming up right after this.